It takes attention to detail, the right tools, and friendly, knowledgeable service. Bottom line, it takes a Bryant dealer to keep your family cool.
Call Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing today. Your local Bryant factory authorized dealer. 325-3969.
Bryant. Whatever it takes.
When you're hearing high school sports broadcast here on AM 1320 WFHR, it's proudly brought to you by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, Paper City Savings, La Chapelle, Kreshok, and Edishon, Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Tim Hintz Automotive, Ministry Healthcare, Renaissance Learning, Marshfield Clinic, Del Monte Foods, 8th Street Auto, and Homestead Golf. Follow all the action right here on AM 1320 WFHR and streaming live at WFHR.com.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Eye Weather Center.
Partly to mostly cloudy skies in the forecast for this afternoon. Can't rule out a slight chance for some isolated showers with highs in the low 70s. And for tonight, partly cloudy conditions, a low near 53. For the day on Saturday, a mixture of clouds and sunshine with a slight chance for some afternoon showers and storms, upper 70s. Chance for showers and storms Sunday, low 80s. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Thank you, Michael. Under cloudy skies for the most part, it's 62 in Wausau, 62 in Marshfield, 59 in Point, and 64 here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thank you, Jerry, and welcome back, everybody, to today's show on AM 1320 and streaming live at WFHR.com. It's time for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. You can reach your local investment professionals by calling 715-422-0700. That's 422-0700. Today's topic class is building a portfolio in volatile markets. With that, we say good morning to our investment and economics professor, Pete Bry. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good to be back.
Okay, yeah, it's been a while. He's done a good job of filling in.
I've taught him well.
Yes, you have. Okay. To say markets are volatile would be an understatement. And panic set in big time when Brexit happened. And now people seem to be trying to, I think, accept what happened. And so let's just look at the, and have an overview right to begin with right now about the current situation. How do you see things right now? Are we starting to catch our breath, or is it still wild?
Yeah, it's the most intriguing time in the history, I think. First of all, the whole interest rate environment mm-hmm. is such that right now over $14 trillion of bonds in the world are negative interest rates. So that means, Carl, I'm going to give you my money.
Right.
And I'm going to pay you to hold my money.
And you're not going to make anything.
And if it goes to maturity, I'm guaranteed to lose my money, or part of my money.
Right.
So, you know, that is such a unbelievable signal, and a lot of people, there's two ways basically to interpret it. One is, maybe three, but the fact that people would pay for the right for someone to hold their money rather than put it in a can and bury it in their backyard tells of the degree of fear that's out there. It also tells you that, you know, the environment, the economic environment, doesn't necessarily look like they want to be anything risk, because the reason a lot of the Federal Reserves throughout the world are putting rates so low is to push you into risk type assets. So you got an environment where there's a lot of people, a lot of money in negative interest rates. You have the Federal Reserves almost universally across the world saying that they're in no big hurry to raise rates. And so you got a couple things going on that precipitate out of that. One, if you start looking at the earnings reports that started coming out earlier this week, they're coming in pretty good in the United States. And yet our treasuries, our 10-year and our 30-year treasuries, are at all-time record lows. So people are scratching their head. But there's a scenario whereby if you're getting negative interest rates in Switzerland and Japan and Germany and the Netherlands and et cetera, and in the United States you're getting 1.3 or 1.5 on the 10-year, in some instances that's 2% more, and you got a chance to make some money. So part of it is supply and demand, all right? The demand for higher yielding instruments are the best in the United States, and then when you consider their credit quality as theoretically one of the safest havens to put money in the world, so you have that going on. So the flip side of this, and this is kind of what happened with Brexit, the world assumed, they assumed that they were going to stay in the EU.
Right.
The markets rose up prior to that, and so everybody anticipated. So when it didn't happen, there was a rating or new information in the market, and literally the market on that Friday, I think, was down 4% or something like that. Monday it was down basically about 2%. But if you take the run up and the run down, it was really only down 1% in that time, but it was crazily up, crazy down, crazy back up, and things like that. So the answer to your question is, I think that's the world we are living in, that information, as long as it would appear interest rates were going to stay relatively low, then, you know, there's a risk on market. You go into bond or stocks, all right? As the things of economic indications and statistics come out, if they're weak, obviously the market, stock market's going to come down, and if they're strong, obviously the market's going to go up. So you have the other influence in here is that this so-called smart money, the hedge funds,
right,
have been terrible. I mean,
so-called smarties have not been too smart.
No, and there's lots of reasons for it, but the point is that a lot of the hedge funds who literally have hundreds of millions and billions of dollars, all right, in investments, when they move out of those or they move into those, that creates a lot of volume of trading, and it creates bigger moves up and down. So I think this volatility is part of an ongoing strategy as an investor or as an investment counselor.
Okay. So, and then you add U.S. presidential year. And I would imagine that's the next big thing that could have a major impact, a la Brexit, is who gets elected president of the United States.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, the way the market discounts things, you know, you would think that it's obviously going to be Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton.
Right.
I shouldn't maybe say obviously, because the conventions haven't started. So, but, you know, so I think that if you look at prior to last week when the FBI and came out on Hillary, I think the market was taking into account that Hillary is going to be the next president.
Right.
I do think that if, I don't think the market is putting into their valuations that Donald Trump will be president. So I do think if the polling continues to be negative for Trump and he wins, I do think that's going to jolt the markets.
Yeah, well, for in advance of our show today, Pete, I went to our, Nate Silver's 538 blog, and he's lowered the percentage chance for Hillary below 70%, but it's still a wide margin. And, of course, it's a vote. A lot of people forget that it's a contest for electoral votes.
Right.
It's not a popular vote contest, and he still has her with 308 electoral votes. So, and he the last two presidential elections and was like, how did he figure that out? He's been that close. Right. So everybody kind of watches. That becomes like right. the Wall Street right. Journal. He has, and he graphs it every day. In fact, you go on his page, and there's a cartoon character of Hillary and Donald, and you click on that, and it comes up with that graph. It's like reading a stock portfolio.
Right. Yeah, and that's my point, is that, you know, he's got a reputation. It's well-earned. You know, you read the Wall Street Journal every day as multiple pages on the campaign and what's going on and all the trends and the polls and stuff, and you know they all show that she's going to win, and so that piece of information I believe is into the market. The market's going well and stuff. I do think volatility comes in if in fact that isn't the case when it's all said and done.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to look at this. Okay, we got to build a portfolio. And with this interest rate, as you said, and your views from the Heartland newsletter, the interest rates conundrum, and portfolio construction in a low interest rate environment. What to do? I mean, it's kind of crazy times. Well, we'll try and give you some good advice here on Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Back with more right after this.
When my family found out I was on drugs, they were devastated.
It was killing them, you know, it was killing them. It
tears your family up more than it does you.
You want to stop, you know, in your heart you need to stop.
My mom was just a nervous wreck. I could just see her getting older way too fast.
My oldest brother banned me from the house. You're a drug addict, I don't want you around my kids.
I just couldn't help it. I couldn't get a grip on it. I couldn't even stay clean to get my son back.
It doesn't matter if it's Monday at 10 in the morning or if it's Sunday at 2 in the morning. You got to go get drugs or money, one or the other.
You pray to God, please help me quit this, stop this.
My dad was frantic, and he looked at me and he said, we're not going to gamble with your life.
I wanted to have my family back, and that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Eye Weather Center.
Partly to mostly cloudy skies in the forecast for this afternoon. Can't rule out a slight chance for some isolated showers with highs in the low 70s. And for tonight, partly cloudy conditions, a low near 53. For the day on Saturday, a mixture of clouds and sunshine with a slight chance for some afternoon showers and storms, upper 70s. Chance for showers and storms Sunday in the low 80s. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Right now, we got clouds in 64 and AM 1320. Welcome back to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Remember, you can get your local investment professionals here in Wisconsin Rapids by calling 715-422-0700. And we're talking about building a portfolio in volatile markets. Okay, so let's get to building that portfolio, Pete. We've got interest rates low, although for folks in negative interest rate territory, that's why they're putting their money into our bonds. Let's begin the strategy. Where do you begin?
Well, I think you begin with a basic overview of how you see things going forward. And the first part of that, I believe, is almost every Federal Reserve Bank, as previously stated, have their Fed fund rates or lending rate at ridiculously all-time record low rates, all right? And so they're also on the books basically saying they're in no hurry to normalize rates, whatever normal becomes at this point. And so from that, I think you can have a certain degree of confidence that interest rates will continue to be lower much longer than we've ever anticipated. And so because of that, you're looking for things that might yield something, because especially in the stock market, because there's a stat that it goes back to the 1920s, and the S&P return, 41, almost 42% of your return from the S&P it comes from dividends.
Okay.
All right. An income stream.
Right.
All right. So you start out with the premise of, all right, I'm looking for income. I'm looking for income with some growth, and look from that standpoint. All right.
Right.
The second thing I think you have to do is, because if they are really in no hurry to raise rates, when we have an event like a Brexit, which was basically a political event,
right?
It doesn't have any immediate impact. People aren't quite sure, A, if it even will get done, all right?
Yeah, there's still a possibility that Britain could change its mind.
Correct. And B, if it does get done, you know, who's going to impact? You know, the FTSE, the English market, ended up, you know, they had an incredible run. They were the least effective market on that Friday. So the point being, when we have these volatile markets and it's predominantly not necessarily economic related and things, and even if it is, those are the times you have to step to the plate. So you've got, you're looking for income, you're looking to buy on pullbacks, because at low interest rates, sure, people will go into cash, but getting 0% in cash is actually losing money in a purchasing power sort of way, because there is inflation out there. So you start out with, you're looking for income to help generate a return, buying on pullbacks, and then, you know, what are the horses you're looking to invest in?
Okay. So, given that, are we looking at some income? What kind of income stocks, or how do we? Every building has a foundation. What's
right.
The foundation, so, and then let's build up.
So again, it starts out with how aggressive or how conservative you'd be. But let's just go kind of a middle of the road type of mentality here. Well, whereas Treasury bonds, the 10-year I think is 1.5 today, and the 30-year is 2.26. There is corporate bonds offer a superior income, and again, I'm a big proponent of buying individual bonds, because you know what their coupon is, and you know when they mature, and quite frankly, because of it's things are so volatile. You know, we're currently looking at bonds that mature in the next 4 years, in terms of them having the either cash or the lines of credit or a great income stream that you have a high degree of confidence, like 100%, you're going to get paid back. But even now, especially in the oil patch, you know, they threw a lot of bonds down the tube, no matter what their financials were. So, you know, in a bond that comes due 18 months from now, you know, you can still get about 3.5, and you can get 2.5, and you can get 4 versus having to go at 10 years to get 1.5, having to get 0.9% on a CD. So this gives you a kind of a foundation of, you're going to get an income stream. You're going to get a better income stream than you can in sitting in a money market, a CD, burying it in your backyard, right? Buying a treasury. And you know it's going to come due. And by trying to...
While you're alive.
Yeah, by finding a portfolio or building a portfolio that you put some in a 1 year, some in a 2 year, some in a 3 year, some in a 4 year, as they come due... as an investor, you're hoping interest rates go higher and you can roll it into a higher yielding, and yet you've not committed for money out 10-15 years, and who knows where things go in that point.
Okay.
Right? So that's where you start. The next thing that we've been looking at is preferreds. Preferreds is kind of hybrid between a bond and a stock. You get you're the second in line in terms of a liquidation, which should hopefully is an irrelevant point. Most of them are fixed rate. Most of them have a call. They have a lot of features of a bond that they can call them back. But we've been buying this year anywhere from 5.9 to 7% coupons that we just get every quarter. And because of where interest rates have gone, they've appreciated you know, anywhere from 5 to 10% on appreciation, with a 5 and 9 to 7%, you know, that's a double-digit return in something that certainly isn't you buy for, you know, doubling your money or anything like that. But in the environment we're in, you know, you get paid every 3 months, five, seven to seven. You know, that in this environment, that's an excellent rate. And they tend not to be very volatile.
Okay, okay. In your newsletter, you also talked about real estate investment trusts and master limited partnerships.
Right. Both of these are kind of, well, they were created out of the tax code, and the requirement is that they have to pass on the majority of their income. So, again, the dividends on these particular things are anywhere from 3 to 6, 6.5, 7% in the kind of quality that you would want. And what we're looking for is these things that have a history of paying and increasing their dividend over time. We're looking at this environment where the amount of money they're paying out, there's a fairly wide spread between the money that they're bringing in. In other words, the payout ratio is what we call it. And, you know, we like payout ratios that are, you know, 30 to maybe 60%. He's kind of on the top side. And the reason being is, you know, the higher the payout ratio, the less room they have, either to raise that dividend, or if in the event of some net income setback, some write-off, some, you know, economic bad times, they may cut the dividend. And those two things you kind of want to stay away from. But both of these, it gives you, in the REIT field, you can go anywhere from malls to apartments to commercial to the places where medical, places where they store digital information. So you got a wide variety there. MLPs are predominantly in the energy area. So as the energy market was going down early in the year, you know, we started buying some really good quality MLPs who have since increased back in value, and we feel very comfortable with. But again, you know, you can look at 3, 4, 5%. You can look at getting a pay increase from some of these that have had a history of every year raising their dividend, and so it obviously augments your income.
Okay, how in terms of distributing your portfolio and percentages among the corporate bonds, the real estate trusts and master limited partnerships, preferred stocks and the like, what do you think, is that based on your risk tolerance or?
Yeah, I think it definitely is based on risk tolerance as it pertains to how much you want in income, how much you want in growth and income, and how much you want in growth. Because the other part, and we've seen it in the market right now, is in the S&P 500, utilities and telecom and consumer staple stocks, those things that, you know, you're going to use regardless of a great economy, a mediocre economy,
right,
or a bad economy, a lot of those have years and years of consecutive increase in dividends. And so that would be the portion of the portfolio, if you were more growth-oriented, that you would probably have, 40, 50, 60%, again, depending on how aggressive in something like that. And then, you know, the REITs, the MLPs, the preferreds, you know, maybe having 5 to 10% allocations, and then and again, these percentages are a byproduct of being able to look what looks attractive and adding it to the portfolio, and just not buying to buy it. Yeah, because I do think we're a little more back into a stock selector market, and then your bonds will be a byproduct of if you're income oriented, you probably would have a majority in bonds,
mm-hmm.
because you know you're getting your money back at a certain period of time. So that might be 60-ish, give or take. And then you probably would drop down on the stocks to more like the S&P type stocks, to maybe more like a 15 to 20, and the other 20 you would put in combination of the preferreds, the REITs, and the MLPs.
Okay. So where are, right now, what do you see? Is it going to continue to be this wild ride and just like hang on? Or do you see it settling out eventually? Probably, I would think, after the election, unless, like you said, if they price in a Clinton victory and they get a Trump, then that might get a little crazy. But let's say it's status quo. The Democrats hold the presidency, and the House stays Republican, and maybe the it flips Democrat in the U.S. Senate. And that's kind of the scenarios a lot of prognosticators are saying. That would be pretty much status quo, would it not?
Yeah, if everyone's saying it, that's what's priced in the market.
All right? Yeah.
So I think going forward, to answer your question, the same things that over the years have always driven the market basically will continue to set the tone. And that is earnings, how's the economy doing, where is the economy going, and interest rates. Because it'll traditionally, if interest rates start going up,
mm-hmm.
it's a sign the economy's doing better, all right?
Right.
But there comes to a point where if they raise too fast, too high, then obviously everybody steps back and going, whoa, what's going on here? And money becomes more expensive. It's harder to, you know, it's more expensive to get a car loan and a auto loan and or a home loan, and so the theory of if interest rates stay calm, I think the market is inevitably going to go higher, because I think if you look, and I think right now, without a doubt, one of the best markets as it pertains to the economy is the United States.
Right.
And if you look at low unemployment, wages are rising. We sold more homes, owned homes, since 2006 in the last month. Interest rates are quite low. Refinancing becomes viable again, if you can believe that, with the 15-year at 2.5-ish and the 30-year at 3.40 or something like that. So that puts more money in the pocket. Oil prices aren't necessarily in a big hurry to go anywhere. We're almost to the end of the summer, and they've started coming down already. We've got Iran and Iraq and mm-hmm. Saudi Arabia pumping as much as they can, so that puts more money in a person's pocket. So as the industrials get more confidence, and corporations in general, and the big thing is if we can get some capital expenditures going in, new buildings and new equipment,
right.
and things like that, I think we could go on for a fairly good stretch here, all right? But then it circles back to yours comment is the political thing is
right.
always the overlying thing in terms of they make the rules. And when you change the rules of the game, it's harder to play. So, you know, the path of least resistance will be once the candidates are elected and we know the House and the Senate and the majorities and things like that, if the market likes it, the corporations will start spending some of that money, because when you have billions of dollars getting 0.5%, it's not because they can't find projects or they can't do mergers that they like. They just are, at this point, being so close to elections, you know, you'd like to know the rules of the game over the next 4 years or potentially 8 years and stuff. So I think there's still some catalysts in the market. I do think, you know, what tends to happen is we